I am Bob. Thank you. My favorite movie is What About Bob? My favorite son-in-law is Rob. And if you don't know, Rob is here. I want everybody to turn around and look at him and say these two words. Are you ready? Rob, Rob. What were you thinking, Rob? What were you thinking? I've determined that when I get his age, I'm through with basketball. We're glad he's here, amen? All right, glad he's here. Well, I had another sermon prepared, but after Rob did what he did, I prepared one for him. And if you all can get good from it, okay. Usually the Word of God is more than for just one person, right? And so maybe you can get some good out of this sermon today. Here's why I think you can. Because you're a human being. And God gave this Word for us human beings. And God's Word meets us right where we are. And speaks to us right where we are and has answers for us right where we are. Job one time made this statement. Job said, "Man that is born of woman," as far as I know, every man's born of woman, "man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." How do you like that? Well, that sums up our lives, doesn't it? Few days and full of trouble. You may have heard about the three guys that were out mountain climbing one day. When Joe got too close to the edge and fell over this steep precipice and landed on a ledge below with a thud. And the guys laid on their stomachs looking down to see if they could see him. And finally they saw him laying down there in this little ledge, pretty well broken up. So they hollered down to him and said, "Joe, are you okay?" And he said, "Well, I'm alive. But I think I broke both of my arms." They said, "Well, now, Joe, we'll throw you a rope down and pull you up." And he said, "Okay." And so they throw a rope down. And he says, "Okay, I'm ready." And they started pulling him up. When one of the guys remembered, he said, he thought he broke both of his arms. And he said, "Joe, if you broke both your arms, how are you hanging on to the rope?" And Joe said, "With my teeth." Have you had days like that? Maybe you've had weeks like that. Maybe you are having a month like that or a year like that when it seems like Murphy's Law is in force and anything that can go wrong is going wrong. Let me tell you, first of all, you're normal. You're a human being. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And secondly, God's grace is sufficient for you during these tough times. Do you believe that? God's grace is sufficient. Well, let me read to you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about tough times. He said, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." He called us as Christian, human being Christians, jars or vessels of clay. "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side." Some think that Paul is picturing a Roman wrestling match, and that the enemy, the foe, is very deceptive and very agile and very quick, and so he's picturing himself and us wrestling with this foe. He said, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. We don't give in. We do not lose heart when all this is happening to us, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's the goal for the Christian, is to take the bad things that come into our lives and let God's grace meet us right there and make something good and positive out of it. So then, death is at work in us, life is at work in you. Now listen what he says about his troubles and our troubles. He calls them in verse 17, light and momentary. Sure. Light. Is it light, Rob? Not very light. It hurts a bunch. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. Say for us. For us. It's achieving for us. You see, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer to that question is no one. If God is for you, no one can be effectively against you. Do you believe that? And Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So, we fix our eyes on what is seen, not what is unseen. Or we fix our eyes on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And if you go right onto chapter 5, we know, Paul said, that if this earthly tent, now he's calling us a tent, we live in, is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Meanwhile, we groan. You see, the apostle's life was not a bed of roses. In fact, a lot of what he wrote to us today, he wrote chained to a Roman prison guard while in prison. And yet he said, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel, because Paul had an opportunity to witness while in prison. So Paul's not going to be defeated by his outward circumstances. He's going to let them give him opportunity to let God's grace be manifest in his life and through his life. You see, Paul testified that he had been beaten on several occasions. Now, when you've been beaten by the Romans 39 times on two different occasions, you're almost dead. At one time, he said he was stoned. Now, that doesn't mean he was on drugs. I just want you to understand that. I mean, they threw stones at him, tried to kill him. And they thought they had killed him and carried him outside the city of Jerusalem and dumped him there to die. And his friends came and kind of revived him back to life again, and he lived. He had been shipwrecked, snake bitten, left for dead. He had been hard pressed on every side, he said, but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, and he had been struck down but not destroyed. Now, what's very interesting to me is that Paul almost seems to be insensitive. I had a guy one time in a Sunday school class say, if Paul had lived in our day, he couldn't say all this because we are under more stress in our day than what Paul was in his day. Yeah. I mean, have you been stoned, beaten, given up for dead? Light and momentary. Our light and momentary circumstances are achieving for us, there it is again, an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, what does he mean by them all? His light and momentary troubles. Listen to a couple of other translations. For our present trouble, which is only for a short time, is working out for us a much greater weight of glory. Our temporary minor problems, he calls his problems minor. Our problems, minor problems, are producing an eternal stockpile of glory for us that is beyond comparison. Now, Paul's given us a word picture of pan scales. I know not many of you are old enough to remember this, but I can remember my mom sending me to a little grocery store downtown the big city of Nellie, Ohio, population 50, and asking me to get 5 pounds of flour. And so they would take these pan scales and they would put a 5-pound weight over here. The other side went up here. Then they'd start pouring the flour in, and they would pour it in until they balanced. And then you knew you had 5 pounds. Have you ever gone to a hardware store and bought 5 pounds of nails? They'd do the same thing, pour it in here until it balanced. And Paul's saying, God is the great balancer. And you can take all your troubles and you pile them over here and you say, I can't take any more. I've got more than I can handle. Why is God doing this to me? And then God begins to pour in the grace over here and balances it out. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a trouble-free world? And someday we will. That's our hope. Someday we will. We have the hope of heaven. That's the eternal stockpile of glory. And Paul's saying, let God balance out your life. Don't complain and don't murmur and don't find fault. Let God pour his grace into those areas in your life. Paul's testifying that all of the troubles that he experienced in life, his imprisonments, his beating, all the stuff that he experienced was balanced out by God's grace. And Paul had occasions in his life, as you remember, when whatever the problem was that he called the thorn in his flesh, he prayed 3 times that God would take it away. Now, doesn't it seem like God would have just taken it away? Said, here, Paul, I'll take all your problems away. I'll take away this thorn in your flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that was. Many Bible scholars felt that Paul had bad eyesight. You remember when he first met Jesus, he met him on the road to Damascus, and a great light shone upon him, brighter than the sun, and it blinded him for a while. And then scales later on fell from his eyes. One time Paul said to one of the churches he was writing to, see with what large letters I'm writing to you. Not what a large letter I'm writing, but with what large letters I'm writing to you, which seems to indicate he had to write large because he couldn't see very well. To another church, he said, you loved me so much that if you could have, you would have taken out your eyes and given them to me. And so many people think that perhaps this thorn in Paul's flesh was his inability to see. And you know, for a writer, you want to see. And 3 times he said, Lord, please take this thorn in my flesh away. And 3 times, what was the answer? It was no. Doesn't that seem like an insensitive God? Who would want to serve a God like that? But God says, Paul, you are seeing things through your own perspective and your own eyes, but I wish you could see things through mine. Let my grace pour into your hurtful situations. And let me make you a man of grace so that you can minister to others out of your pain and not being painless. Minister to others out of your hurts and out of your tough places and not just because I've taken it all away and given you an easy life. You see, God's grace is seen best in weak people. God's strength is seen best in weak people. And we have our greatest influence and our greatest ministry to people that we know when they know that we have come through hurts and afflictions and problems, but God has helped us to keep sweet and not to get bitter. You know, when problems come our way, you have 2 choices. One is to get bitter and one is to get better. And Paul chose the route of getting better. I'm going to let this make me a better person so that I can minister to other people. And Paul could say to a great many people that he met, I've been where you are. I've gone through what you are going through. A couple weeks ago, I preached a message on be ready to give an answer to every man who asks you for the faith that lies within you. And I was telling my congregation that I had four doctors that I go to. One is my family doctor, who is a wonderful Christian man. One is my pulmonary doctor, who is a Hindu. And one is my cardiologist, who is a Muslim. And the fourth one doesn't know what he is, and nobody else does either. And he's my foot doctor. And I went to him a while back, and he said, I don't believe I've ever met you before. Where do you work? And I said, well, I'm retired. He said, well, where did you work? And I said, well, I was a pastor of a church. And I told him where, and he said, oh, yeah, I've heard of that church. It's a good church. He said, I'm not a church guy. I'm not a Christian. I don't profess to be. I don't know much about the Bible. But he said, I want to ask you a question. Is there somewhere in the Bible that talks about an easy yoke? Yeah, there is. He said, well, what is it? I said, well, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he says, well, that's cool. But yeah, he said, where is that? I said, well, that's in the Bible. He goes, whereabouts in the Bible? I said, well, I can't tell you the exact verse now, but Jesus said it, so it's in the Gospels. What's the Gospels? This man knew nothing. And so then he said, hey, will you tell? He said to me, what's that mean? What's that mean? I said, well, that means that we don't have to live life alone, by ourselves and in our own strength. That when we come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and he saves us from our sins. He gets into the yoke with us. He pulls with us. We're not doing that in our own strength. He's given us the strength and the grace to go through life. And he goes, would you tell my nurse that? I said, sure, bring her in. So he goes out in the hallway, hollers for his nurse. She comes up. He says, tell her that. And so I told her that. She goes, where's that? And I said, it's in the Bible. Whereabouts? So went through all this again. You see, we do our best ministry when we don't realize it. And when we can stay positive and full of faith and faithful during those tough times in our life, that's when your witness shines through. So be careful when you ask God for an easy life, because often people with easy lives have no effective ministry. Paul had an effective ministry because he looked at his problems and he says, these are light and momentary and they are going to work for God's glory. Here's another translation of this text. These hard times are small potatoes compared with the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. So, here's the comparison. Our light affliction, our eternal weight of glory. Our present troubles, an eternal stockpile of glory. These hard times, the coming good times. Small potatoes, lavish celebration. Max Lucado said, what if we saw our tough times is a grain of sand, scarcely worth the contrast with the forever dunes of sand. So God doesn't always remove our problems. Someday we will be in a problem-free environment. I mean, do you have the hope of heaven? I know we live now and we're consumed by the now and all the problems and all the blessings of the now. But listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, he has gone to prepare a place for us where there will be stockpiles of grace and blessing for all eternity. How can you compare time with eternity. You can't. Time is just a little speck. But we're going to live forever. And we're going to live forever in heaven. And when you get in these pressure times of life, think about that. It won't always be like this. Jesus is going to come back and rescue us from this sin-cursed world. So here's the question. Do we minimize our burdens? No, they're very real. Do we close our eyes and pretend they're not there? Do we hide our heads in the sand hoping they'll go away? No, we put them on God's scales and let Him balance out life with the eternal weight of glory. And we consider the fact that our troubles are only for a moment in light of eternity. So can we be sick for a moment? Can we be lonely for a moment? Can we be persecuted for a moment? Can we struggle for a moment? Can we hurt for a moment? Can it be dark for a moment? Can we grieve for a moment? The apostle, or rather King David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But when you afflicted me, Lord, it brought me back to you." I just got through being interim pastor at a Wesleyan church in Rochester. A man came up to me after one of the services, and he started talking to me, and he stuttered quite profusely, and he was apologizing for that. And they told me a story. He said, "I was riding my bicycle between here and Akron, Indiana," and he said, "somebody came off the road and hit me." And he said, "I lost several months of my life. I was in a coma." And he said, "the Lord has seen fit to rescue my life." And he said, I'm alive today, but he said, "I have this stuttering," and he said, "I have seizures." And he went on talking about some of the after effects of his bicycle accident. But then he said, "but don't feel sorry for me." Because he said, "I was backslidden and on my way to hell before that happened, and that has brought me back to Jesus." So you see, we look at situations like this and we say, "how can I do it? How can I get through it?" And by the way, just my last week there, he got up one morning, had a seizure, and died in his living room floor. But he died with assurance. You see, the evil times, the hard times, brought him back to God. When Virla and I moved to Marion, we both thought we were healthy. And we moved there in July, and in November I found out I had cancer. Well, I don't know about you, but cancer always happens to somebody else and never to you. It's always somebody, and cancer is a horrible, horrible word. No matter where it is or how big it is or how much it's grown, it's a terrible, terrible word. And I was just devastated. And I don't get devastated very easily. I'm a positive, happy person. I love life. I love people. But that just knocked the props out of me. And that was a couple days before Thanksgiving. And all of our family went over to our oldest son's house for Thanksgiving. And they all had a good time. But I didn't have a good time. I had a miserable, miserable time. In fact, so much so, I made myself sick. You ever make yourself sick? I did. I went back to the bedroom, and I laid down, and I closed the door, and I stayed in there most of the day. We're on our way home. It's dark now, and I'm miserable. I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I'm dying. I'm dying. My wife's going to remarry. I don't like either of those two things happening, you know. And so I just decided I'd grab a tape and put it in the tape player. Now, tapes are things about that big, if you've kind of forgotten. And they have music right in that little tape thing, and you put it in, you know. And so I was listening to this guy, and he was preaching a message. And the message was moving from fear to faith. Moving from fear to faith. And I listened to it for a while, and I said, "I don't know who this is, but he's boring. And I don't want to hear him." And I pulled the tape out, and my wife says, "honey, it's you." It was me. The church had taped me in several messages, and I had it there. And I always liked to hear me preach, but I didn't like to hear that, and so I shut me off. And we went home. And I turned on the TV. I have to have noise all the time. I just turned on the TV. And Dr. Steve DeNeff, who is the pastor of the College Wesleyan Church in Marion, was preaching. And just as I turned it on and it focused in, Steve was holding a loaf of bread over his head. And these words came out of his mouth. And Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to disciples, saying, "Eat, this is my body." And then Steve looked right through the TV, right at me. How'd he do that? I don't know. And he said, "I want you to listen to this. Jesus blessed the very emblem of his suffering and death. He knew he's going to the cross in just a few hours, and yet he's got the bread symbolizing his broken body, and he's blessing it." And then Steve said to me, "What are you cursing that you ought to start blessing?" Well, how do you bless cancer? I went over to my office the next day, and I stayed kind of late, and I started playing tapes again, music. And I played this one tape that has to do with Paul and Silas in jail. Remember what they did at midnight? They sang and praised the Lord. They had been beaten, their bloody backs pressed down on the dirt floor with salt there to begin the healing process, and stinging, bleeding backs, and their feet in stocks. At midnight, they start praising the Lord. And God heard from heaven, and he sent an earthquake, and he delivered them. And the song says, God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says, your circumstance is hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. You see, it's easy to sing in church when we're all together and we're enjoying the Spirit of the Lord. And it's easy to rejoice when things are going well at work and when things are going well at home. But God wants to hear us sing when his grace comes into our lives at the point of hurt and bitterness and need, and we're strengthened and shored up by his presence and by his grace. That's when God wants to hear us sing. And I can tell you that over the next few weeks, God did a work in my heart so that that day of surgery, when Don Miller, a young man from our church, pushed me down to the operating room, I was shouting happy. I mean, anything would have been all right because I'd surrendered it all to the Lord. Paul said, for me to live, that's Christ, to die is gain. These momentary light afflictions produce within us an eternal weight of glory if we let them. If we let them. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us this morning. Thank you for the time of worship, and thank you for the word that has reached out to us today. Thank you that you know every one of us and right what is going on in our lives. And thank you for your grace that is more than sufficient for any problem we might be going through. It's greater than the sin of our lives. You're able to take your grace and apply it to our sins and take our sins away and become our Savior. It's greater than the hurts, the slights, the difficulties of life. Thank you for your grace. You are the great balancer. Help us just to surrender everything to you today. Maybe there's one person here this morning that's going through a deep valley, a very hard situation. And the devil is tempting them to think badly of their God and Savior. I pray that they would just turn that over to you and find their hearts strangely moved upon today. We love you, Lord. Amen.